السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. My noble audience, for the last few weeks, by the grace of Allah Almighty, we have spoken about different expressions that will be the most weightiest when placed on our scale. And the principal two expressions were Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Today, by the grace of Allah Almighty, we will conclude this topic, and we will try to conclude with a few fine points that we can take back home and ponder over. The first hadith that I would like to relate is a hadith that has been recorded by Imam Hakim in his Mustadrak and Ibn Hibban in his Sahih. On the strength of Abu Sa'id radiyallahu ta'ala an, that Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one day as a Musa alayhi salatu was salam spoke to his creator, spoke to Allah Almighty. He said, Ya Rab, allimni shay'a adhkuruka wa ad'uka bih. Ya Allah, teach me something by which I can remember you and I can call upon you. So Allah Almighty says, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. This is a expression, a dhikr, by which you can remember me, and this is a expression by which you can call upon me. As Musa alayhi salatu wassalam said, Ya Rab, كُلُّ عِبَادِكَ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا. That, O Allah, every faithful person, he remembers you by this dhikr. I am asking for a dhikr that is exclusively for myself. So Allah Almighty makes mention at that junction and says that, O Musa, if you were to place the heavens and the earth and whatever it contains on one scale, and you were to place La ilaha illallah on the other scale, you will find that arjahat bihinna. You will find that the scale that is a host to La ilaha illallah will outweigh the scale that is a host to the entire universe. So from this hadith, we can understand the weight of La ilaha illallah. In addition to this, there is a beautiful hadith that I would like to relate as well. And then inshallah we will go to the fine points that we want to discuss, by which we will wrap up this topic. The hadith has been recorded in Musnad al-Bazzar and Kashful Astar on the strength of Abu Mundhir radiallahu ta'ala an. Abu Mundhir radiallahu ta'ala an, once he came to the Nabi of Allah, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, can you teach me the most superior dua, the most superior supplication? So Nabi Akrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, read the following 100 times per day, and this is the most superior dua, the most superior dua. La ilaha illallah wahda, la sharika la, lahul mulk, wa lahul hamd, يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير. I would like to stop here. In the first days of, or the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, we made mention that there is a hadith that has been recorded by Imam Tirmizi, in which Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best day in which du'as are accepted is the day of Arafah, the 9th of Dhul Hijjah. And the most superior du'a is La ilaha illallahu wahda, la sharika la, lahul mulk, walahu alhamd, wahuwa ala kulli shayin qadir. You may remember? But in this hadith of Musnad al-Bazzar, there is an addition of a few expressions. Lahul mulk, walahu alhamd, yuhyi wa yumeet, biyadihi alkhair, wahuwa ala kulli shayin qadir. So the only addition is يُحْيِي وَيُمِيت بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ. The Nabi of Allah says, if a person can recite this 100 times per day, فَإِنَّكَ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَفْضَلُ النَّاسِ عَمَلًا إِلَّا مَنْ قَالَ مِثْلَ مَا قُلْتَ. There can be no one superior than this person except that person that brings the same package, or a package that has more than the package that he has given. And then Abu Mundir says that the Nabi of Allah did not stop at that. He said, after reciting this 100 times per day, say Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wala ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wala hawla, wala quwwata illa billah in abundance. The Nabi of Allah said, this is Sayyidul Istighfar. This is the supreme mode and form of asking Allah to forgive. And it is a eraser of your sins, atonement of your sins. And then the Ravi, the narrator, he was confused. He said, I don't know, but I have this feeling that the Nabi of Allah said at the end, I'm not sure, there is a level of doubt, but I have a feeling, I think that the Nabi of Allah said that a person who can follow this pattern, that he recites the first expression 100 times, and he recites the second dhikr in abundance, Jannat is wajib upon him. Now for the last few weeks, we have made mention of the remembrance of Allah. And we have come to this understanding today that all these different adhkar expressions will be very, very weighty, weightiest on the scale on the Day of Judgment. But there are many, many side perks and benefits. There are many, many benefits of remembering Allah. And we're going to focus upon them. Nowadays we see that we are surrounded by hostile people. Today an announcement will be made that there are certain people throughout Australia that will be protesting tomorrow. Allah soften their hearts and guide them to what is right. Allah fill their heart with Islam. All this hostility on display is a result of not knowing, or it is a result of not knowing what is right and not being in the position, not allowing yourself to be in the position to collect what is right. But if Allah wills, Allah can give hidayah to Hazrat Umar, who was very, very hostile. Abu Sufyan, he was very, very hostile. Khalid bin Walid, very, very hostile. Allah gave these people hidayah. So if Allah wills, these hearts that are hard as a rock, they are not susceptible to the message of Islam right now, can be softened. Can be softened. And in reality, these hearts become hard when the soul is not intact. The scholars, Allama Alusi in Ruh al-Ma'ani, has shared a very magnificent point that will blow you away. He says, when the model of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was created, it was hard. It was hard. So the devil, he went through it and he knocked on it. And he found it to be solid. He knocked. He went through the holes and he found it to be solid. But once Allah put the ruh in that model, it became soft. Meaning that the ruh, the soul, makes you soft. What an amazing point. That if there is no ruh, spirit, in the conveyance, then it becomes hard. But once the ruh makes it into the body, that exact model becomes soft. You can press upon it. Meaning that when the soul is intact and in perfect health, it will represent softness. And that's why Allah Almighty starts the glorious Quran by saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. That is a representation of mercy, and softness is synonymous to mercy. So what is the benefit? Now in the time that we are tested. So what is the benefit of remembering Allah? Indeed, on the day of judgment, we'll see that these expressions will be very, very heavy on the scale. And there's a high probability that through these expressions, we will make it across. But when we study the Quran from cover to cover, we come to know that moderation is a characteristic that each person of faith should adorn himself with. This is a characteristic that has been encouraged through the Quran, through the different narrations, that we should be moderate people. There shouldn't be extremism from both sides in a believer. He is a moderate person. If he addresses the need of the soul, he does not disregard the need of the body. And if he addresses the need of the body, he does not disregard the need of the soul. There is balance. So kathrat, abundance, is not really liked or encouraged in Islam. What is encouraged is moderation. But there's only a few actions that are exonerated from this law. There's only a few actions that are exonerated from this law. So what does Allah Almighty say in Surah Ahzab? Surah 33, verse 41. Allah Almighty says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ذُكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. O people of faith, اُذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. Remember Allah with much remembrance. The word used is كَثِيرًا. That remember Allah in abundance. One of the benefits of remembering Allah in abundance has been highlighted in Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah number 2, verse 152, Allah Almighty says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Therefore you remember me, I will remember you. And be grateful to me and never be ungrateful to me. One of the benefits of remembering Allah in abundance is that Allah will remember you. I read in the Tafaseer the statement of Allah Almighty that will leave you bewildered. Allah Almighty says, when you remember me, I remember you. And when you forget me, I still remember you. When you remember me, I remember you. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. But when you forget me, I still remember you. I wait for your return, for your rujoo. آپ اللہ کو یاد کریں یا نہ کریں اللہ پھر بھی آپ کو یاد کرتا ہے. کیسے کریم اللہ ہے. So if Allah is remembering you, He talks about you to the celestial creation, to the angelic world. He speaks about you. Isn't that a great benefit? That we remember Allah. Now, remembering Allah in abundance is exempted from the general rule of moderation. And there's a reason behind it. I would like to make mention of a story here, and then we will construct our understanding on that story. I think I made mention of it Monday or the last week, that there was a person, he bought a parrot, tota. Now there are many parrots that can speak. If you teach them, they can speak certain words. They don't speak like humans. We are hayawan and natiq. We are animals that speak. We can express eloquently. So different makhluqat do not have that characteristic. But the tota, the parrot, can be taught a few words. So this person was a religious person. He used to recite the dhikr of Allah. He used to say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. Over time, the parrot had learned these expressions. So if anyone used to come home, he used to say, Subhanallah. If anyone used to leave, he used to say, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. So this parrot became very, very popular in the town. کہ ذکر کرنے والا طوطا مل گیا. That there is a parrot that makes the dhikr of Allah. So now the owner, he could stipulate whatever amount he needed to stipulate because everyone was interested. So one wealthy person came and he said that I have heard that your parrot, he can make dhikr. He says, yes. So the parrot started to make dhikr. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. So what happened is that this person bought the parrot and took him home. So for a few days he enjoyed the dhikr of this makhluk, this parrot. One day he forgot to close the cage, the door of the cage. So he was in the distance and suddenly a cat came. Now when the cat came and attacked the parrot, the owner in the distance could hear that the parrot forgot Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. It resorted to its original language. Now, I don't know how to mimic that. But it resorted to its original language. And it started to scream and wail. No Subhanallah, no Alhamdulillah, no Allahu Akbar. So the owner was mesmerized. He thought that at least today, all day, all night, he keeps the house alive with the dhikr of Allah. His sound echoes in the house. But today, in his last moments, when the cat attacked him and brought an end to his life, he resorted to his original language. He forgot the Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. So he was very, very disturbed. Anyway, tota is shaheed. Tota is gone. So he went to a scholar and he said to the scholar, why? I thought today he will say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Today he resorted to his original language. He said, look, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah was on his tongue. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah was not in his heart. And when a person is challenged at crunch time, only that comes on the tongue, what is in the heart. So what was in his heart was his original language, not Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. One of the reasons why we make dhikr in abundance is that through this tongue, the dhikr of Allah is captured by the heart. So when we are tested, this dhikr comes to our rescue. That is the maqsad. That's why if you study the beautiful teachings of Islam, you will come to know that wherever we are, whatever we are doing, we inject the name of Allah. Maybe we are sneezing, we say Alhamdulillah. The person listening, he will say Yarhamukallah. You start wuzu, you say Bismillah. Huh? You wear your clothes, you say Bismillah. Kullu amrin, kullu shay'in. Anything that you do, lam yubda bihamdillah, that is not adorned with Alhamdulillah, or the name of Allah, fahuwa aqta, it is deprived of blessing. So Islam wants us to remember Allah wherever we may be, wherever we may be. Dhikr-e kathir. So when we are tested, then the dhikr that has made it into the core of the heart emerges. And the noor of that dhikr makes us pass that challenge with flying colors. That is the maqsad, nothing else. That's why the awliya, they have made mention that Uzkurullaha dhikran kathira, remembering Allah in abundance, means billayl wa nahar, in the day, in the night, remembering Allah. Billayl wa nahar, in the day, in the night, remembering Allah. Fil barri wal bahr, on dry land, in the ocean, remember Allah. Fis safar wal hafar, remember Allah whilst you are in your hometown or you are in a journey. Remember Allah. Fis sihhati was saqam, remember Allah when you are healthy, when you are unhealthy. Fis sirri wal alaniya, when you are alone, when you are in public. Wa ala kulli ahwal, wa ala kulli hal, remember Allah wherever you may be. That's why Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, and she reports that the Nabi of Allah say, used to, كَانَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فِي كُلِّ أَحْيَانٍ. He used to remember Allah all the time. So when we are in an environment that is conducive, it is easy to remember Allah. But we remember Allah so much that it makes it to the core of the heart. It hits home. So when we are not in an environment that is conducive, that remembrance comes to our rescue. We got a few announcements, that's why I'm going to conclude on a story, so you can understand what I'm trying to say. Hafiz Imaduddin ibn Kathir, in Tafsir ibn Kathir, he makes mention, under the ayat of Surat A'raf, Surat number 7, verse 201, that in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, there was a youngster who was a abid, Allah ko yaad karta tha. He was physically beautiful, externally beautiful, handsome, and internally as well. So he used to sit in the masjid and make the dhikr of Allah. He used to make the dhikr of Allah. There was a lady in the town that fell for him, head over heels. She couldn't control herself around this youngster. She couldn't. So she tried to encourage him. She tried to encourage him to commit the sin. She incited him. But he abstained. So she started to study the pattern of this child, this youngster. That when does he come to the masjid, when does he leave the masjid. So she came to know at a certain time he goes home and there's no one at home. So she followed him. So when he opened the door, he went inside, she followed him inside. Now, he finds himself with this girl as a Yusuf, alayhi salatu wassalam, found himself with Zulaykha. Koi ni kamre mein. So she makes it very, very clear why she's there. That I need to fulfill my desires with you. So he started to recite the verse. He started to recite the verse from Surah A'raf 201. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِّنَ الشَّيْطَانِ تَذَكَّرُوا فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ. Verily those people that are muttaqoon, righteous, when an evil thought comes to them from the devil, تَذَكَّرُوا, they remember Allah. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ, and then they see aright. They can see, oh, what am I doing? This is not the right thing. But they remember Allah. He started to recite these ayat continuously, in repetition. And he fell unconscious. Imam Ibn Kathir says he fell unconscious. The lady, she was perturbed. She was confused. She ran away. When he woke up, he kept reciting those verses, and in that recitation he died. With the recitation of those verses, he died. Hazrat Umar was very fond of this youngster. Because when a person comes to the masjid and he's so regular, most probably in those days everyone was regular, but he had attained a high level. That's why he caught the eye of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. So Hazrat Umar was very fond of him, always making dhikr in the masjid, ibadat, and blessed with external beauty as well. So Hazrat Umar, when he came to know that he has passed away, he went to the father for condolence. He went to the father, and then the father made mention of what had happened. So Hazrat Umar said, I have to go to the grave of this child. So he went to the grave of this child. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he recited the verses of Surah Ar-Rahman. Surah 55 verse 46, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. That person that fears Allah, for him are two paradises. He recited this verse. And the child replied, and he said, Allah has fulfilled his promise, I have two paradises. But the big question mark is, how did he remember Allah in an environment that was not conducive to the remembrance of Allah? He was alone with a girl that is inviting him. Because prior to this theater that is not conducive, in an environment that was conducive, he remembered Allah in abundance. If one person, it is simple. Simple logic. If I was informed that next year, on this day, on this date, I have to run for 10Ks. I have to run for 10Ks under 1 hour. And I don't prepare for it. I don't make any change in my life. When that day arrives next year, same day, same date, I can't run. Because I haven't made preparation for it. But from today onwards, if this is ringing in my mind and this becomes my concern, I will prepare for it. So when that time comes, with ease I will run without even sweating. So remembering Allah in an environment that is conducive, and we are in an environment that is conducive, be grateful, be thankful. There have been many, many Muslims in the past that could not hold the Quran, that were deprived of placing their eyes on the Quran in Russia. They could not. We are in an environment that is most conducive to the remembrance of Allah. But Allah Almighty says, تِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Times change, fluctuate. Different times in life bring different scenarios. So when we are in an environment, for example, there's no heart trouble, there's no blood pressure, there's no diabetes, healthy, keep yourself in that state. Prepare for the worst. If we don't take care of our health right now, what happens? At 50, 60, we struggle. That's what happens with the Muslims, mostly. Normally we see the wider community at the age of 80, they're playing golf. Because at the age of 30 and 40, they were aware of that moment. We are not aware. Kao pio. Same thing. When that environment comes, that theater comes where we're going to be challenged, and indeed we're going to be challenged. If we have not remembered Allah before, the first thing that is going to drop is the remembrance of Allah. You know when a thief is caught out? So what does the police say? Hands up. Hands up. Why does he say hands up? So now he can't do anything from this position. He's caught out. He can't. What is he going to do from me? If he's in this position, there's a possibility he's got a gun up here. But if he says hands up, he can't do nothing. What does Allah Almighty say in Surah 58, Surah Al-Mujadilah, verse 19? Istahwada alayhim ash-shaytan, fa'ansahum dhikrullah. When the shaytan overtakes you, the first thing that he does, hands up, fa'ansahum dhikrullah, he makes you forget the remembrance of Allah. And when the remembrance of Allah is taken away from you, then he navigates you as he wants. But he will not be in the position to make you forgetful of your Creator if you are not forgetful of your Creator in the environment, in the theater that is conducive. Allah ko khub yaad karo. That's why all these different expressions hold a lot of reward. This is to encourage us. So we remember Allah. So we can see the benefits. We can know the benefits. This is an encouragement. Because when we remember Allah in this style, keeping all the benefits in mind, in times of testing, that name of Allah, that expression, does not only sit on the tongue, it controls this heart, and solace and tranquility and peace all lies in this heart, and this heart is controlled by the name of Allah. So it is my humble request to myself and to all my listeners that for the last few weeks we have been speaking about the weight of dhikr. Keep your tongue moist with the dhikr of Allah and allow this dhikr to hit home, that it makes place in the core of the heart. Because when we are tested in our domestic structure, in our families, in our public structure, in our businesses, wherever we are tested, because each person is to be tested, even the prophets were tested, but the test did not make a difference because that heart was settled. And this heart will only settle when this tongue gives the dhikr to the heart. So this is the path to the heart. This is the path to the heart. Bring all that we have made mention and put it in this heart, because when you will need it, this heart will blossom with these different expressions. Inshallah, we will do that. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. There's a few